podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Daytime loses another writing icon. Sally Sussman previews her Young and the Restless, and the 2017 Daytime Emmy dates are announced. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian Bow, welcome.
What up?
Well, what's up is that we lost another writing icon. Earlier this year, we lost Agnes Nixon. Now we've lost Claire Labine. Jamie, the podcast that we recorded that included our discussion of Agnes Nixon was lost to the internet lost to the recording god, shall we say. What are your thoughts on Claire Labine? And if you want, feel free to touch on Agnes Nixon.
Well, actually, I tweeted this, so it's a perfect thing to start. On the heels of the country regressing, we lose one of the most progressive writers in the genre. I was a late comer to the magic of Claire Labine, or actually, it depends on which soap you are thinking about, but I mean, her biggest claim to fame is the creation of Ryan's Hope, which was the beloved Irish Catholic family soap that launched the careers of Kate Mulgrew and Eileen Kristen and Roscoe Bourne, among others. It was known for being a truly realistic soap opera that really delved with the lives of the Ryan family in New York and their family bar and politics and journalism and all the things that Claire was interested in talking about. So a real thinking woman soap opera. I can say, get ready for your drinking game. Everyone knows how devastated I was when Santa Barbara was canceled, and it was Claire Labine that quickly helped me get over it, because when I tuned into her General Hospital and found such incredible storytelling, I was, you know, hooked. I mean, she did so much. I mean, before even the iconic storylines, I mean, the Quatermains were just such a wonderfully dysfunctional family. And I've since, of course, I know she didn't create the Quatermains, but, you know, in looking at the clips that I've watched from the 80s, there was definitely a difference to that family in the 80s era episodes that I've watched on marathons and things like that than in the 90s. It just seemed like in the 90s, it felt like a precursor to Arrested Development, when you had Stuart Damon and John Engel and Leslie Charlson and the people playing the sons, you know, Steve Burton and Wally Kurth and Sean Kanan all in a living room together. And then she brought on, you know, Amber Tamblyn as Emily, and, you know, Monica was having her affairs at the hospital, and Brenda Barrett was like a surrogate daughter to the Quatermains, and she falls in love with a mobster, and, you know, just all of the, and the Quatermains, of course, were fit to be tied, and we got Sonny and Brenda and Lois and Ned, all these really, you know, you don't get couples like that in daytime, and I'm not going to use this as a way to talk about anyone negatively, but it's like, you know, you think about the mobster and the heiress, the rich boy and the, you know, street talking girl from Bensonhurst. You know, she just really did, you know, well thought out, not just, oh, this one's broken up with this one, so let's put this one with that one. And, you know, Sonny, Brenda, Jax, Robin being diagnosed with HIV from her first love, Stone, and BJ dying and her heart going to her cousin, Maxie, and this happening while Bobby was out catting around on Tony, their daughter, you know, is basically mortally injured. I mean, all of these just incredible storylines of the human condition, and also, you know, there was Luke and Laura back front and center, you know, still dealing with the Smiths and the Cassadines and all, but in a much more contemporary way. I mean, you know, so much of what we still, you know, shake our fists at the soap gods and ask them to get it right in the current GH with the Cassadines and the Quartermains and Laura, it's because of Claire LeBond. And I mean, I can't end my segment without mentioning, I mean, the Wards. I mean, she gave us Black Quartermains, and they weren't just, I mean, we say that now as, you know, because the Quartermains are the ones that are still there, but this was a family of social justice warriors. They were civil rights leaders. And, you know, I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but after the week I've just endured, I could really use some social justice warriors on TV right about now.
Jillian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, we lost the trailblazer inside that was a part of the industry. She wrote a fantastic storyline about Stone and Robin and the HIV. And she also informed a bit because people were still clueless about HIV and AIDS. And she just broke that stereotype, so to speak, where people thought, oh, you know, it's a gay person's disease, and she just showed you, nah, you know, the girl next door can get it, and Robin pretty much was the girl next door. Man, I was really shocked when Jamie sent, like, an email about it. I'm thinking, she about to join a show, but Jamie's like, no, she's dead. I'm like, ah! So, yeah, I mean, it's an end of an era, so to speak. The end of an era.
And Luke, you said something about Agnes, who, yeah, we, you know, we've gotten pinged for that episode.
Well, for those who aren't aware, we did actually have a discussion about that, but when I discovered the podcast recording errors, it was too late to try and record another one.
Yes.
And so that's the reason why it wasn't discussed. It was technical difficulty. So if you want to comment it, you're more than welcome to do so now.
Yeah. I shudder to liken this to karma because these were both women who were, you know, they were of an advanced age. So I don't want to be too eerie, but ever since we've been doing this, if I had to judge, I mean, you would think that 2000, what were the 2 years, the years where World Turns and Guiding Light, Guiding Light and World Turns went back to back, you would have thought, or even One Life and All My Children, you would have thought those would have been the creative lows in terms of our time covering the genre. But for me, and I know this is an unpopular opinion, Guiding Light, I would love to see it brought back, but in my opinion, it was ready to go when it left, because the quality of the show had just diminished.
Oh, so, people are changing in chevrons and bushes. Mm-mm.
You know, but As the World Turns, I felt like was still viable and strong and could have been saved. All My Children and One Life to Live, it was the same thing for me. I felt One Life was strong and All My Children had been destroyed. But the other shows were still firing on all cylinders, or if not all cylinders, you know, they were still like a good 1,000 miles before their next Pep Boy checkup. But it's just really sad to lose Agnes and Claire with, you know, what's been done to the Young and the Restless, and with the Bold and the Beautiful regurgitating every storyline Brad has ever done. You know, Dave has kind of gelled in recent months after, you know, it's multi-regime changes. And GH has had a lot of fans frustrated, but I think they're trying at GH, so I'm, you know. But I'm just saying, for me, in my opinion, 2016, since I've been blogging about soaps, has been the most devoid of creativity. No one's even trying to do anything out of the box. No one's even trying to, you know, do anything new other than the same old, same old. And then you lose these women who never, it was never their, they were never complacent. They never felt like, did they have their storyline ups and downs? Sure, everyone does. But they weren't just content to ride it out to cancellation. And that's what I kind of feel like we're in right now. So, yeah, I mean, with each one, it's like, good Lord. I mean,
can you imagine what it's going to be like for our end of year podcast this year?
I mean, it's like that song, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? I mean, but in this, you know, in this regard, it's, you know, but hope springs eternal because Sally Sussman and Kay Alden are back at The Young and the Restless. And here's hoping.
Before we move on to those, I just to sort of wrap up the Claire and Agnes aspect. After this last week's election, for me, it sort of put into perspective the fact that many of the fights or the many of the issues that were they tried to advance way back when are now issues that are once again going to be very much in the forefront. And it just makes you realize in some respects how little we've come.
Well, and as you say that, I'm going to be writing a post about that. I want to explore what will happen to daytime in Trump's America, because if you remember, after Barack Obama was elected, there was all this talk in the Hollywood Reporter and Variety about, you know, Hollywood going black. And, you know, we got a lot of turkeys out of that. But then we got a lot of really good black themed television, Empire, Blackish. But, you know, marketers and network executives are always trying to scramble to figure out the pulse of the nation. And a lot of times they let politics do that. So I'm like, you know, we barely see the gay couple on General Hospital as it is. Maya's transgender storyline on Bold and the Beautiful, she doesn't even say the word anymore. She says her secret. You know, whenever the story, when Eric was talking to her, I mean, you know, now she says things like my past or my secret. So if you watch that show, you would just think Maya was just any woman with fertility issues, you know. So that has been, you know, so we've already regressed. Days has their gays and they're using them. And, you know, and I don't mind the way they're using them because, hey, gays are not just gay to talk about being gay and talk about, you know, lube and coming out. It's good to get, I applaud Days for using their gays in the middle of their big bad story and, you know, they're being heroes and stuff like that too, but the General Hospital gays don't even show up for their family members' weddings and funerals anymore. So I do wonder, you know, what will happen to diversity? I mean, there's always a, oh, the network doesn't want us to be diverse fight anyway. So I wonder, will we go back to seeing, you know, Ma, Pa, Ichabod, and Jedediah on farms on daytime? I mean, back like the 50s. I mean, because that's, you know, where a good segment of America wants us to be. So I don't know.
Well, before we move on to this past week's actual soap storylines, it was announced that the 2017 Daytime Emmy Awards will take place on April the 30th. Pre-nominations will be announced on January 25th, and the final nominations will be announced on March 22nd. So, set your clocks and calendars, maybe not your clocks, but you're definitely your calendars, because we're almost to awards Daytime Emmy Award season again.
What are they going to award?
Good question. Well, one of the things in light of this last week that I pretty much decided for the podcast was I just want to talk about positive things on soaps this week. I don't want to talk about bad soaps. But before we get to this...
Well, you go right ahead, Karen,
before
Knots Landing.
Listen,
this
is just for this week. Before we get to the actual storyline topics, though, Sally Sussman did an interview with TV Guide, TV Insider, TV Guide's Michael Logan. Jamie, you posted 5 things we learned. What did you learn from it?
Well, Luke, the first thing I learned is that, you know, sometimes Patty Hearst syndrome is super real because here I'm all,
now there's like, the name for the podcast, Patty, you know, Hearst syndrome.
Well, I don't even, it's not even called that. It's something else.
No, I know what it's, I know. It's Stockholm, but Patty Hearst sounds better.
I was asleep that day in sociology class. But, you know, okay, woosah, Jamie. Okay, but, you know, Okay. So I wasn't aware of this because our readers were very positive and happy. But if you go to the comments under the actual TV Insider interview, people were just mad as hell at Sally for daring to say that she won't continue all of the epic couples and love stories of Chuck Pratt. I mean, and here's the thing. I get couple shipping. Lord knows. Y'all know I can't be a hypocrite. Lord knows. I said
liaison.
I started more liaison JSAM wars than I care to admit, especially how nasty it still goes, even though I don't participate anymore. But I get it. I get couple shipping. You know, I would sit at my TV and call Taylor Hayes a stupid, frigid bitch for daring to try to take Brooke Logan's man from her. I get couple shipping. But when all you can focus on is that the new head writer, who is an heir to Bill Bell and who trained under Bill Bell and who is talking about going away from plot-driven stories and baby switches and all of the things so many of us have been screaming for years, if all you can get stuck on is that she's not a big fan of Philly and that, you know, and the way that, you know, I wasn't aware of this until I tweeted something.
Hallelujah. You know,
something positive about it, and someone tweeted me back, it's not going to be a change for the better. And I just went off because I was like, give me a break. Did you watch the show The Last? Yes. Phyllis and Billy, their affair was soapy and intriguing, and it was okay. But people, let's just be real. It will not even make the top 3,000 on a list of best couples.
Oh, no.
You know, two recasts trying their best to feel their way onto the canvas with a very wooden chemistry. I mean, if anything, the conceit was sexier than anything else. Ooh, the brother sleeping with his brother's wife. I mean, but it was not some Phil Collins against all odds love affair, at least not for me.
And it certainly didn't deserve any type of, like, Celine Dion soundtrack.
And if it is one for you, then you just don't know what a super couple is anymore. I'm just going to tell you.
Well, Jamie, that's something I've said for years. People don't understand what a super couple means.
All that, like, did y'all take away, like, Sally, let me tell you something. Sally said, I am not about to be Miss Congeniality up in this mug with y'all. Did y'all see what she said but not say? Like, when she talked about the Christian not being Nick's kid, and they're like, is that going to be revealed? She was like, Justin Hartley ain't coming back. He too successful now. He gone, girl.
This is what I mean.
She is addressing the Muni fans without addressing them. Like, she letting y'all know, look, don't start no campaign.
Oh,
he is gone.
Yep, the people on Twitter that I saw the most reaction was, I am pissed about Adam. It wasn't Phyllis and Billy. It was Adam.
No, for so many years on this show, Victor Jr., as he used to be known, was just the pretty little blonde boy that lived on the farm with Hope. Yes, Michael Muni put his foot into that role. He did, but he also pissed a whole lot of people off there. And look, I'm not blaming him for that, because some of them might have needed to have been pissed off. And then there was the whole alleged scandal, which, you know, he never got to say his side of that. So I'm believing innocent until proven guilty on that regard. But I'm just going to say this, whether or not he could come back or not, because I loved Michael Muni as Adam, and I thought Justin Hartley was a very good recast. They totally went a different direction. They wanted to make him like this traditional sexy hunk of the show. I get it. He definitely became an integral character, but this show has moved on from integral characters before. We don't see Snapper anymore. You know, we ain't seen Snapper in a minute. Snapper used to be on every day. Snapper used to be the show. I'm sorry. It's time to move on. The man had three faces in 5 years. That's too much. And he has been killed off twice.
In 5 years.
No, my thing is this, though. Sometimes, as fans, like, we get mad at the writers, and Lord knows we do, but then we demand the same stuff. Basically, what I read from the people who are upset is, well, we want her to come in and resolve all of Chuck's stories. That ends up taking a year. Let's be real. When a soap has been destroyed, this is what happens. Writer A destroys the soap. Writer B gets hired. There's hope. you know, hope for the future. But writer B has to spend a year cleaning up the messes of writer A. By that time, writer B has either ran afoul of the network or the ratings dipped lower or whatever, and then we get writer B replaced by writer C, who usually is writer A, or somebody from the other alphabet that preceded
or was an assistant to a writer A.
Yeah, or, you know, nah, that don't usually happen. But, you know, usually it's the same old, same old. I mean, Ryan Kwan was an assistant. That's about
it. Well, I'm just meaning, like, at General Hospital, Jean came on after Rod and then ended up...
Well, she wasn't no assistant.
Well, no, but she was a writer on the team.
She told me to tell you she wasn't getting coffee and donuts.
I wasn't meaning a literal assistant. I was meaning someone else on the writing team.
No, you need to not do that. You need not do that.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, so this woman is saying... I don't have time to spend these Chuck Pratt stories. And she took it there. She spoke truth to the devil about the destruction that has been.
Oh, my God.
Linda Ree Latham took her purple-streaked hippie ass onto that show all the way up to the current day with the network interference of Barbara Bloom. Barbara Bloom was something else. She thought she was Phyllis, according to my sources. That's why Phyllis went from being a bitch that you love to hate to this heroine every day shrieking, "Why do you keep choosing Sharon over me?" You know, that was all Barbara Bloom, because she saw herself in that character. We don't care who you saw, Barbara. And look, everybody knows that I am a fan of Angelica, and I will always support the fact that she fights for these shows, but she needs to back off with some of her stuff. I'm tired of seeing all of these doggone game show hosts, and I get it that it was for the 30th anniversary, but you're not bringing in any lapsed viewers with that. You're not drawing in any viewers that
you
are
going
to stay.
40th anniversary, right?
I mean, no, I mean 1 in 30, the CBS daytime.
That's crap. Okay, whatever.
No, it wasn't crap. I mean, they deserve to celebrate being number one for 30 years, but... I don't need to see all these people on all these shows, especially when they're in bad shape. And I like Angelica. I do support what she's trying to do. But this is dumb. When your show is in the toilet, you're being just as blindsided as Brian Franz and Barbara Bloom ever was.
Yeah, because people came for Barbara Bloom when Barbara Bloom did it.
We have to start coming for them, too. No, sorry, gloves are off. It's like, your show is crap. Last week, I watched a scene, and I know you wanted to be kumbaya this week, Luke, but I can't.
Oh, fuck
I'm not
all that.
Sit here and watch destruction and not talk about it. There was a scene on The Young and the Restless between this Travis person that no one cares about, and now he has another person that no one cares about. Some woman he hunched up in New York somewhere that only Ashley Abbott knows about, and they had two or three scenes about their epic love affair on The Young and the Restless. That is breaking every one of Doug Marlin's rules at once. You get to go off. I mean, you know, you won the game. You won Sorry. You won Monopoly. You broke all of Doug Marlin's rules at once. We are having to hear about these two people. You don't love me anymore, but I love you. Who the fuck are y'all, and why are y'all on my TV, and where the hell is Lauren Fenmore is what I'm trying to get to. And Sally gets that. You can read in that interview.
Well, I do hope, well, she did say something, and I was like, all right, now, Sally, don't make me have to have you. When they talked about Devon, when she said it was a mistake to make Devon Catherine's grandson and give him $2 billion, like it left him with no drive, I'm like, okay, girl, are you trying to say you're going to make Devon go broke? Because I'm not having that. I hope she
has.
Well,
you can have her on your own, because I'm going to say this.
I agree with that statement.
Person, but... Let's just be real, because that's another thing that people brought up. Why don't they discuss the winners? Why don't they discuss the winners? Because the Winters is off riding the Rich and the Ruthless with me. The winners hadn't been interesting since Victoria Ralph fell off the damn cliff. Let's just tell the truth about that, shall we? You know, people are like, I can't believe she didn't put Neil in that list of eight. I'm as black as the Ace of Spades, and I didn't give a good goddamn that she didn't put Kristoff in there.
My thing is this. I do not want her to be Devon broke, because it's like, why does everybody else get to be
I don't want him broke.
Well, he doesn't have to be broke, but I think the way that story was told of him becoming family never felt right. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with him being rich and having money somehow and being a playboy billionaire if he makes that money. But if you go back and when he had the music stuff and all the other stuff that they just tried to do just so that he could have a storyline, it was not good television. And there's no reason for him to be a chancellor.
And there wasn't always a lot of emotional and commitment to the acting and the storytelling. I'm just going to be real. Now, he did come alive opposite Michelle Morgan. And in my opinion, in the interview, she is excited about that beat. Devon and Hillary could work again. He can't be an Eeyore anymore. He has to be excited about the story that's being told. And he has to be engaging on
screen.
Well,
let's face it. He's the young and the restless version of Tyler Christopher.
I mean, it's boring. It's absolutely, their affair was red hot. The affair was red hot because it was so soapy. Ooh, she done married his daddy, but he blind. And, you know, but she's hunching this one and she hunching the son. You know, I want Hillary and Devon to get a good story under her. And I think the woman who created Generations might be able to do it. I'm just saying.
I hope so.
Oh my God, what are we gonna do without Philly? And you know, and then you know, she says she's
not. Oh, fuck Philly.
You know, and it's, well, my thing is, it's like everyone is just trained to expect the same thing. Oh my God, you mean Adam's not gonna come back and we're not gonna get a Christian paternity reveal? She cited one of the most successful storylines in the history of daytime as an example, and she's right. Mike Horton's paternity wasn't revealed until Mike Horton was a grown man. Lily Winters on The Young and the Restless, her paternity was not revealed until she was almost a grown woman. You just got a maternity reel that it's a maternity reveal that it's Sage's baby. Do we really need another prerequisite sweeps week? Oh my God, it's not Nick's baby. It's this one's baby. And here's Adam with a new face and he's played by Wink Martindale. Do we really need that again? I mean, why do we need to see the same stuff?
Sally is trying to tell y'all hoes, y'all need to get in formation, pal. She is like, all right. I'm like, I love the fact that she just told it like a T.I. is. She didn't beat around the bush. She just told, and she was like, oh, this was
and people, you know, I've heard industry people go, wow, that interview was so harsh and this and that. And I'm like, Chuck Pratt's interviews are just as harsh. Why can't a woman tell it like it is? Why does she have to eat so politely?
Actors do it all the time when writers leave. They do this whole kumbaya bullshit when they're there, and then they all try to get balls and boss up when they leave. Sally is telling the truth. The story was trash.
Someone finally needed to say everything she said.
Yes.
Someone finally needed to admit that the moment Bill, I mean, she didn't say that much, but the moment poor Bill Bell started becoming ill and that show was seized from his heirs, Kay and Jack and Sally, by Lynn Marie, look, I done ran a name together. Look, I done squished her own name. By Lynn Marie Latham and her co-conspirator Barbara Bloom, the destruction of that show began. Bill Bell didn't even allow the network to interfere in his storytelling. Go look on the TV Legends website. He talked about this. This began because they used that as an opportunity to seize that show, and it has never been right since. The network needs to go back to giving notes on whether or not they think Milwaukee would like this story or whatever. They need to stop trying to tell storylines and trust the writers to do their jobs. And damn it, it needs to go back to that way. And if it fails, okay, we'll know why it failed then. But that needs to be what happens because executives are not storytellers. I guarantee most executives ain't never even read Robert McKee or Sid Field. Or just do what you're supposed to do. Pay the bills, keep the lights on, make sure Metamucil wants to buy a 30-second ad spot, and stay the hell out of the storytelling.
Well, Jillian, what'd you think of General Hospital this last week?
General Hospital, I'm just kind of like, I don't know what's going on over there, man. Like, Lucy knowing what Ava did to Morgan, and she's, instead of saying something, she's just keeping quiet. Like, if this was Lucy back in the 80s, 90s, I'd buy it. But Lucy's not that type of person. I thought that was kind of like, At least for me, I thought that was kind of like, And then they finally put Morgan Ast in the ground. I'm like, thank God. Like, your core. I'm like, God. No, GH has just been wonky. Alexis is a drunk now. Alexis can't watch your child on TV, let alone in person. She burned him up baking cookies over Julian. What the hell happened to Alexis Davis? They just made Alexis, like, so pathetic now.
Well, apparently, when you're attacked by your husband or significant other, that's what happens to you.
I mean, I thought Alexis would have been more of a ballsy character. Like,
exactly.
You know, Alexis should be the type now, like, if a man tries to open the door, she'd be like, the hell you opening the door for? What you trying to do? And you'd be like, damn, I'm just trying to open the door for your ass. Like, I don't know. I'm just like.
Well, and the last time Alexis had something traumatic happen in her life, she ended up turning herself into a butler. So, I mean, it seems a little bit odd that she's becoming a drunk.
I don't think it's odd at all. I think it's in character. This is a woman who psychologically has been drawn to bad boys her entire adult life, and it's always blown up in her face. And I think that it totally makes sense that, I mean, Julian was the love of her life, and the love of your life tries to kill you with a letter opener. That would make me have somebody want to pour me a drink. And those scenes
you
with Sam.
You don't want to use any excuse for a drink.
So. No. That storyline, I mean, those scenes with Sam and Alexis.
Cyber high five, Julian.
A mother has to ask her mother, were you endangering my child? I thought that was good television. And and Morgan's funeral I thought was beautifully done. I mean, it had some, you know, Sonny, oh my God, when Jax and Sonny, you know, had their moment, and then Jax hugs him and finds the gun.
That was kind of like,
I mean, I thought that, and the way that they showed the, you know, the very complicated relationships between the young Corinthos, Jax kids, and, you know, with Christina being hot that nobody wants to sit with her and her daddy. And everybody was like, oh, you can sit with him because we think he's the one who blew Morgan to Kingdom Come. I mean, I thought that was really good TV. I love that Bobby knows. And who, after what Carly did to her life, Bobby should be able to see a sneaky bitch coming a mile away. So I love that Bobby knows that Nell, you know, Amy Vining had that role the first time with Carly. It was only Amy who knew that something wasn't right about Carly. So I love that Bobby, you know, and kudos to Gene and Shelley for revisiting Liz's rape story. One of the main criticisms.
I will give them props for that.
Criticisms we give them is that they don't like to delve into the history, and they're doing it. I mean, who would have ever thought? Now, you know, it could be construed that they're doing that to you once again try to, you know, not them once again, but every regime since Ron made Roger Howarth Franco has had to try to deal with how can we make Franco viable. And the thing of it is, now we're at a point where you feel that way, Luke, but there are a lot of Frizz fans. When you watch that show on Twitter, sometimes we have to get out of our daytime confidential bubble. And when you go on Twitter and
it has nothing to do with the pairing so much as that character should just not be exist.
Well, you know what? How many years are we going to say that?
I'm going to say it as many years as I want because I still think that Babe.
Wait, what did he do? What happened?
How many years are we going to say that? Are we going to say it every week?
What?
Yep.
That Franco ain't going to be. Well, I saw what you trying to get snippy. You sure never wanted to learn nothing else about nothing. But anyway.
No, I'm just saying, for me, he's the new Babe.
But Mr. Luke, I hate to go inside baseball, but you do like to talk about the fact that we have 15 minutes a segment. So if you want to waste the segment every time going, he just shouldn't be there. Well, he's going to be there. Roger Howarth is one of the biggest stars in daytime, and he's going to be there. So are we going to waste time every week talking about why he shouldn't be there? Why?
I'm not wasting time about it. I'm just saying.
He's going to be there. He ain't going nowhere. He's going to be there when the show go off and Tori Spelling gets the gong show, okay? So they are trying their best to make it work while he is there. And he and Elizabeth, he and what's that baby name? Rebecca Budig, Rebecca Henderson, Rebecca Herbst, I can't even think. he and Rebecca Herbst have chemistry, and so at least they're going, okay, what better way to make Franco understand the nasty stuff he did to Sam than to make Liz have to
that
deal
is a
with
good
her
move.
Rapist again? You
that
know,
is a
I
good
mean,
move.
That is but at least going to character to try. That's what we beg and scream. Use character and history to propel stories. So
I guess maybe you could say that that's what they're doing with Lucy, but I just can't see Lucy Coe just
well,
sitting
with you on that. No, Lucy and Sunny were aces.
That's Brenda, no, I hold up. I said, I guess that's what no. you can try to say because I said, I don't get why they would have Lucy just
see,
sitting
you
there.
You love Luke and Sunny right down to their stinky drawers. Back when, yes. You know, she would never betray no. Sunny like this. I don't, nah, I can't, I was agreeing with your original statement on that. That feels odd to me.
No, that like, I don't understand. Lucy would not do that. And you know when Sunny finds out, Sunny is going to try to bury Lucy. Like,
what's funny to me, though, I did have a humorous moment watching the funeral when Kiki came in and sat down next to the Bensonhurst Corinthoses. It was like Lulu kind of Lulu kind of looked over like, why she sitting over here with us? Because, you know, they didn't know what to do with Kiki because, you know, she's all blaming herself and, yeah.
Oh, God, I do blame her, too. She should have blown up, bitch. Ugh.
But you know, I thought the funeral was well done. I love God. I would do a GoFundMe to keep Ingo Rademacher. That's the one thing I wish Frank would sometimes realize. You're trying to make all these staras out of these people. Don't nobody want to see these Claudettes and Claudia. And everybody else. But
that.
You know, can we just keep Jasper Jax? Ingo still look good. You know, and I always prefer, in terms of my Carlys, Sarah Brown was hot with Steve Burton, even though it made me mad because she hurt Lil' Robin like that.
Yes, bitch!
Tamra was hot with Mo. I don't care what nobody say. Tamra Brown and Mo, they were fire! Had me coming home every day from college trying to skip class to see Sunny.
Turkey wings.
But this Carly has always looked like Sonny's mama. I don't mean it like that because she doesn't look older than him, but she's so much taller than him.
I'm more than willing to have people come for me about Franco, but you was calling Carly.
No, she doesn't look older than him.
Luke, you just clowned Jamie's Carly, but you want to try to get Buck? Get out of here.
Wright has mama chemistry with Maurice Bernard. She and Ingo had sexy chemistry. I loved her Carly with Jax. They made sense. You know, the marriage made sense. The family made sense. You know, Jocelyn is her youngest child. Put her back with the man she's got a child to finish raising with. And bring back Vanessa Marcel for Sunny. I'ma say it. Yeah, I'ma say it.
Yes, Lord, say it again. Yes. Tell her.
Listen, I'm with you there. I still, the last time she was here and she was in that airport and they had those scenes together before she flew out.
Whoever made this decision to decide to make Sunny and Carly, you know, Bob and Kim, it's like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see some big, you know, them being the matriarch and patriarch of this family. It's like, you know, Sonny is not that dude. Sonny is a thug. You know how a thug will have 6 or 7 kids in the hood by 7 baby mamas? That's
what
Sonny. He don't. I know you don't, but, you know, look, because where you come from, they just give him a little money and say, go away with that child. But it's still.
No, where I come from, that kind of thing doesn't happen, my friend.
Y'all be hoeing around bullshit. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Y'all be hoeing around. Don't get it twisted. Middle America love to hoe around. Anyway, you know, Sonny and Carly are not supposed to be Cliff and Claire or Bob and Kim or any of those types, you know. Not yet, anyway. I mean, you know, they're not 70, but that's what's kind of happened this last year. A bunch of hand-wringing about the children. And, you know, I still see them, you know. Look, my Rachel Corey was still sexy and viable at that age. You know?
Drink again. Another world mention.
I don't like Franco. He shouldn't be here. I don't like Franco. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Jamie, this last week we were talking about The Bold and the Beautiful offline, and you were commenting on the Katie, Eric, Quinn storyline. What are your thoughts on it?
When we were talking offline?
Yes. What did you think about that?
I think somebody needs to get Brad one of those really fancy adult coloring books that are all the rage now so that he can release some new creativity, because this just reeks of, well, we don't know what to do with Katie. This is just like when Eric...
How do you not know what to do with Heather fucking Tom? How?
This is just like when Eric soiled Taylor Hayes. It's like Eric sleeping with Brooke made sense. That all had to do with his rivalry with Ridge and the whole, you know, the Cronus eating his kids in Greek mythology, being, you know, your daddy and the son being rivalries and all that.
And it also was kind of like history too, because Brooke was, you know, you could.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, but it's, yeah, it was epic history. It was mythology. It's, you know, you fall in love with the.
I was going to say, because, you know, he couldn't have her mama. And,
right. Well, yeah, we're on the same page. I'm just saying, I'm taking it to the, that's mythological. It's like, you know, he couldn't be with the mother, so he gets with the, you know, but this is just lazy. It's like, why would Katie be with a man who's old enough to be her pawpaw? I mean, with Quinn, it makes a little more sense, because yes, Quinn is in the same age range.
But she's a gold digger.
But now she's really not a gold digger. Everybody keeps saying that. She's not a gold digger. She started her own jewelry empire on her own. But she is an opportunist, which I don't think she's a gold digger.
No, she's not a gold digger.
And it's like, first of all, I loved that stuff this week. I thought that fashion show was incredible. I thought Rena Sofer is just lighting up the screen. Her versus Torsten K was epic. But if... putting Katie on the other end of the two of them is just lazy,
Eric's had a taste of Brooke's honeypot, Donna's honeypot, and now he's going to get it of Katie's honeypot.
No. I don't think that. This is just me. I don't know anything. I don't think that Katie is going to be with Eric.
She's not, it's still lazy. It's just like,
right. No.
It's paint by numbers.
I think what they're trying to do is show that, you know, Ridge and Cole have been saying that she's erratic and she's crazy. I think they're trying to drive home that Quinn is self-destructive and she is crazy.
She has her jealousy issues.
Why? Because
I don't know.
Katie ain't into Eric because, you know, spoiler alert, you know, I thought Katie ass was living on the beach. All of a sudden now, I guess they got a budget now. Katie is interested in buying the home next door to Eric, and like Quinn is just not amused by that. She flips her shit. And so I'm like, huh? Like, you don't, this is what you do for Heather Tom instead of like,
well, this is what they do every time for Eric storylines. It's Pam versus Donna. And you're right. I mean, this is Heather Tom. This isn't Jennifer Garris. I'm sorry. That's, you know, come on.
On a new man for Katie, man.
And like, then and beyond the actors, just the characterization of it. I mean, when the show began, Katie was a girl with acne scars, and Eric was a grown man, an old grown man then. It's like, come up with something new. I mean, and then you've got, you know, Zenday sleeping with Sasha because, oh my God, I thought she was going to go through with and then the other little girl is upset. It's like, do you really think that man is supposed to be okay with you being a permanent rental womb? It's just, Brad. One good thing, because we know Trump ain't going to keep Colleen Bell as the ambassador. Look, David Duke is going to be the ambassador to Hungary now.
Oh, my God.
So we know that, you know, Colleen and Brad going to be coming on home. And maybe,
oh, my God. You know,
he can get his mind together.
That Zenday thing, like, listen, Zenday, I feel as though B&B was doing a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because I'm like, really, girl, you're gonna do this baby thing again? Like, Lizzie ain't even creeping yet. Lizzie just holding her head up by her damn self. And y'all want another baby? Like,
she's
come.
Look, she's so young. I didn't even know her name was Lizzie. I know I knew that, but I'm like, I ain't even memorized her baby's
but,
name
you know,
yet.
I don't understand this. And then Zende spoke for us when he was like, you're going to do this shit again? I got that. But Zende's so selfish and downright disrespectful. Nicole needs to bust his ass. That's number one. And number two...
I don't think he's selfish.
No, that's just me. But this is my thing about Sasha. Now, Sasha came on and wrecked Nicole's life. Then she got a little hubris and was, you know, was reflective on her shit and was cool with Thomas. She stepped aside so Thomas can have a family with his family. Keep in mind, this girl busted up her daddy's family.
Yeah, which made no sense.
With her dirty little secret. But now, she has the audacity to bust up Nicole's marriage again. Like, why is it that a stranger is, it's okay to step aside for a stranger, but it's cool to, to bust up Nicole's life? Nicole, who had your back when your no good ass daddy was like, bitch, go home. Like,
and then
I don't understand that. Like, the audacity, they just kill me with that. Like, I did like Maya checking her ass. They need to have Maya have her fangs back. And for Maya, when that bitch is like, I am starring in the runway, and Maya be like, no ho. I am starring. I am the lead.
I can't wait for a moment where Sasha reminds her, I'm your sister too, you know, because I don't think Sasha did anything wrong this time. I mean, I'm sorry.
Nicole
wants to sit up there and do, you know, it was a beautiful sacrifice the first time, but doggone it, it's overkill the second time for you to just make a blanket decision like that. You know, you're in a relationship. You don't even want to consult this dude.
But how is that Sasha's business?
It's her body. It ain't her business, but if that pretty tangle-eyed boy came in there naked, hey, talking to me, I'd be like, Nicole, if you want to go get inseminated, so do I, but I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way.
I just have a problem with with Sasha. It's just flip-flopping. No, like, this is fucked up. Like,
she had to get it where she could.
No, this is jacked up. Like, Nicole,
Team Zende this time around. The last time I was like, ooh, Zende, why are you going to be like
that? I'm team neither of them.
And Rick and Maya are the most selfish people in the world. They knew that they were going to destroy this little girl's life again, and they did it all because they're selfish. It's like,
they gave her an out. Nicole decided she wanted to be a damn carrier.
You know, that's like your mama being like, you know, I know it ain't your time to wash the dishes, but, you know, your sister's leg is hurting. Will you wash them and be a hero? Yeah, it's your option, but if you don't do it, they're going to side-eye you. Why are they not
side-eye the hell out of me, because, no.
Why aren't they adopting a transgender teenager if they want to be parents?
No, forget all that. Why aren't you doing a gestational carrier? Like...
No, why aren't they? Look, there are so many issues with transgender that they don't want to tell through Carla Moseley anymore. If they want to have a baby, let them adopt a little transgender kid or something progressive other than just the same old, remember when Brooke ended up with Taylor's eggs inside of her hatchery? I mean, Brad has got to just freshen
this
up.
Fool said her hatchery.
The doggone fashion show was incredible.
Well, fish hatcheries have lots of eggs.
You know, rest of it has just not been this was a great illustration.
Shut the entire fuck up.
You know, this week was an illustration of the next.
So that boy.
I'm going to try again. This week is really an illustration of what's wrong with B&B, because they can still do such a beautiful, glamorous fashion show that ended on a great twist with Quinn, but then the rest of the stories are just wash, rinse, repeat.
Garbage.
Wash, rinse, repeat. Oh my God, your baby mama came back, so I'm going to break up with you, Thomas. It would have been much more interesting for her to be like, look, Caroline, I understand that you and Thomas have a baby together, but since you've been away with your two moms, you know, whatever you've been doing, he and I have gotten close, and I'm not about to walk away from that. That would have been a storyline.
Yes, I would have liked to see. Well, never mind. I'm going to delete it. But anyway, I would have liked to see Caroline be like, you know, can you step aside? And she'd be like, no, ho, you decided to take your ass to New York with that little baby and run off. We are building something.
And those are the types of stories that Bill and his dad, you know, that Brad and his dad used to do.
And for I would have liked for Caroline to deep back, you know, to become that bitch again and be like, look, bitch, I am not about to have another Avon Ho steal my man. Like that would have been juicy.
Remember when Brooke gave birth to Bridget, and of course we all thought she was Ridges at that point, and Taylor showed up at that hospital basically saying, look, you're not going to use this baby to come between Ridge and Taylor. And Brooke was like, I already have Stephanie. He loves me.
Hospital, yeah.
You know, it's like, that's how they used to tell stories on this show. Why would, if Sasha's supposed to be this scheming, conniving vixen, what scheming, conniving vixen do you know walks away from a man? Scarlett O'Hara didn't let Ashley getting his cousin pregnant make her stop lusting for him on Gone with the Wind. Why did that girl, if she's supposed to be this on the make, you know, bad girl,
the man clear in the clear that didn't have baggage with her sister,
big old chest and big old arms like that.
And where are Oba Babatunde and Anna Maria? They are gonna let them go away. They're just
Pearson and Lindsay, because they got, you know, they became a together, and they don't even show them. I mean, there's so much other stuff. Well, Katie Logan should be starting a rival to Spencer Publications. She should be using that fat divorce settlement she got start her own media empire to challenge. She should be starting her own fashion media empire to challenge Ion Fashion. Not hanging around Eric. Ooh, you got some Viagra?
No, you know what? You know what? Cool. Katie was gone all summer. All summer long, she was just brushing up on the business. She was making deals and relationships with Bill's competitors and people Bill does business with. And she is writing a fashion blog and a gossip blog all rolled up into one. And at first, Bill thinks it's hilarious that this gossip fashion blog is shitting on Forrester. But then the fashion blog starts shitting on Bill about how Bill is a sucker getting played for those shares so he could take over, so that Brooke and the Ridge and them could take over Forrester, and he's getting hustled. Bill be like, wait a minute, who the hell is that? And Bill cannot figure out who it is. They can't figure out who it is.
I love it.
And it's dry, and it is just like, at first Bill is like, you know, oh well, you know, Spencer Buzz, you know, since
you done lost me. You done lost me.
I don't know. I'm just coming up with something random. I don't know. Spencer Spoiler or whatever is doing bad, and Bill be like, oh, we were gonna gut that anyway and revamp, so it doesn't care. But then it starts to take on his bigger competitors, and Bill does not know who the fuck it is, and he finds out it is Katie. It would have been a good opportunity to introduce a new man to the canvas instead of fighting over the same old tired ass balls up in there. Because I already see what's going to happen. Quinn is going to go after Katie. She's going to try to scare the shit out of Katie by going batshit crazy. And Bill is going to rescue her. And then Bill and Katie are going to bond. And then they're going to get back together for the third time. And then Brooke and Ridge are going to get back together. I already see that, like, we can
predict. I used to think, see, before I watched soaps out of the country, I could be snowed on anything, because I used to think, well, maybe the international market likes B&B being that simplistic. Bull poppy, and not just because of my new love for Emmerdale. My friends
have been Oh, Lord.
Emmerdale drinking game should begin now.
Shut up. But my friends have been hipping me to these other shows, these New Zealand shows, and all these. And the storytelling is not simplistic in the international market. And look, again, our readers tried to tell me that for years, but I just didn't believe them. But, I mean, so I don't know why Brad just lazily tells these stories. And they are. They're lazy. There's no denying.
Because when you have a cash cow, all you do is milk it and feed it. You don't try and change anything.
That's a lie.
I was being sarcastic.
When it became a cash cow, they were writing the hell out of that show. B&B was the hottest show around for a long time. I'm going to say from Brooks... Affair with Eric all the way through the affair with Deacon. That show was on fire. And this modern, it just being lazy as hell is only like 3 or 4 years old. I'm going to be honest. It just got super lazy, you know, and, you know, a lot of people blame it.
I would say it goes back to it went back to before Stephanie's death, but Stephanie's death gave us a little bit of a brief reprieve, and then we got a reprieve for Maya.
Well, no, prior to it going just super lazy like it's been all of this year, we would get the compelling daytime Emmy bait story, and then we would go back to Jennifer Garris smearing honey on people. Then we would get compelling Emmy bait story, and then we would get, you know, what's that boy's name? Kyle Lauder. I'm going to stop you, Rick Ridge. You know, and then somebody else would get bubonic plague and die on, you know, so that'd be, he would mix it up. I don't know what they're going to use for Emmy bait this year. I have no clue what they can possibly use. I do not know. Because I didn't see nothing they could submit this year. You know, maybe the Quinn and Eric stuff. You know, because John McCook definitely, you know.
Yeah, he put a stank on it when Eric fell out. In terms
of them, you know, they usually come up with one story that's, you know, topical and, you know, or that has a main character we love dying or something. But I didn't see.
Well, if they use him in the hospital, they should give you a writing Emmy.
Well, the thing of it, I'm going to say this. I mean, the belief is that once he and his wife do move back to the U.S., that the show will get better story-wise. I'm hoping, but I don't understand why that's a factor, because the internet means you can. I mean, you know, why do you have
JB? You and I have never worked together.
Yeah,
in one location ever.
You know, to write a story, you don't have to be in the U.S. of A. I mean, you know, that little George R.R. Martin man, you know, wrote Game of Thrones somewhere in his drawers in a dungeon, and he, you know, sold it to HBO, and they've managed to tell a good story every year.
Maybe Brad thinks he's in Aspen and not in Hungary.
I don't know, but when he is in Hungary, the next time Colleen comes in and is like, "Darling, would you like to come to the state dinner?" No, I have to write my fucking soap opera, Colleen.
No. She needs to say, no. When he is getting his tux dusted off, she needs to be like, "Where you going? To the state?"
Exactly.
You stay your ass in the house and write them scripts.
Yeah. And don't just do it like I used to do my homework. Like, I'm already, the teacher done took off 10 points, so let me run and cram this. No, you need to get your ass somewhere and sit down, calm your nerves, and write a soap opera. And not just be like, well, I don't know what to do with Bill now, so maybe him and maybe Pam will move. Because that's all that's left. Pam gonna move in on Bill. You know, Brad is just looking at his canvas and going, "I don't want to do anything new." It's like, that's the one show where it's like, "Well, why not? I'm begging, don't bring out no more characters, please."
No, that's not the only thing left. Eric can move in on Maya.
Hey, Eric said that actually.
Maya said she's not her
dad. Eric do like to be a little risque, so you never know.
Let's talk Days of Our Lives. Jamie, what'd you think this week? We had, and I was going to call her Nicole. That's not the right character. Jen Lilly's departure.
Teresa.
There we go. Thank you.
Well, I'm not going to complain too much. It was kind of an absurd storyline, some bad guy from the past. But I will say this. I'm so glad that my Gina Donovan is not leaving in a body bag. So I'll allow it.
Because see, that's interesting because I actually had someone on Twitter, in my feed, but go, they might as well just killed her off.
No.
Leaving. No. Wait. How is she leaving?
Some bad, nefarious somebody from her past showed up and was threatening the children and her and Brady. Shane and Kim's came in and helped. You know, we got to see Shane in spy mode again. You know, my take home from that exit is thank God it wasn't another, a presumption of death. Thank God it wasn't a real death. You know, if Josh Griffith would have been there, she'd have been strangled out right before our eyes till her eyes bugged out.
He would have tried to do a Riley and be, ironic. He would have had Teresa's, killed by, I don't know, she slipped on, a drug needle or something, or she just no face inside of, pile of coke.
Well, James Riley would have had somebody take her fashion pencils and stick them in her mouth. You know? Josh Griffin would have just had her strangled before our eyes, you know. And so I'm glad she can come back. I love that Shane is staying around to help with all the mysteries. Dez is feeling good to me. I like that JJ cheated on Gabby. He cheated on Gabby, and now Gabby is turning to Pretty Boy.
Chad.
Right as Abigail is returning.
Yeah, fuck that, Abigail. And Abigail needs to tell her, you killed my daddy.
Daze is the only soap that is about to give us, possibly, because I haven't seen the new Abby act yet. But if she works, Luke, what we were talking about on our twofer, you know, we might actually have a viable late 20-something quad with Gabby.
That still doesn't give me Nicole and Lucas age, though. But you're right.
Look. Had Nicole front and center, thanks to Donald Trump, all year long. Now, but
that was only since October.
It feels like a year. Nicole got a storyline. Deimos is the love of her life. Deimos.
Oh my God.
I am enjoying that little, the little young adult. Well, they're not young adult anymore. Gab and them done moved. Look, they done moved on up past, they late 20s.
Moving on up.
Definitely mid 20s. So I'm enjoying that little story. My Orpheus, I think he dead for real this time. Daze is the only one where I'm not mad about the returns from the dead because it's like, that's Daze. And, Orpheus, he died another day. But I got to see my Deirdre Hall. If the show turns bad tomorrow, I'll say, you know what? I got to see my Marlena gasping. Orpheus, Hope is in jail. Again, every time Dina Higley come back to this show, Hope go to jail. So Hope done went to the pen for killing Stefano, which is crazy as hell. I'm like, Stefano did all this stuff to these people. Somebody finally put a bullet in him, and then Hope goes to jail. But Rafe is trying to get her out and stuff. I'm enjoying my little Daze. Daze is feeling like old home week still. Joey knocked up that little trashy girl, so Patch and Kayla finna be a big mama and pawpaw. And, Kayla don't like that little girl anyway, so that's classic soap opera. It's like,
see, Kayla need to call her little niece Sammy to do some to mess with Dina DNA on that little girl's baby ass.
I want Sam, and I think Sammy, come back. I think she'll do a guest spot this year. I do believe we'll get a Sammy guest spot because there's a lot of beats that need to be played there. I need Sammy to react to Hope and Rafe. I need her to say to Rafe, wow, first you know how she talked. First you had to have my sister Carrie, and now you're going after my Aunt Hope. And leave it at that, because I don't think Rafe was any love of Sammy's life or anything, but I need Sammy to raise an eyebrow at that coupling.
Elvis John DeMera is the love of Sammy's life.
Listen, I want Sammy back, but as long as she doesn't spend all of her time sitting on a park bench, then we'll be good.
Well, I also want Sammy to flirt with Chad. I mean, I think that would be hot. just as Abigail and Chad find their way back to one another, I would love for widowed sister-in-law Sammy to show up, and they'd be like, what are you doing here, Sammy? What do you mean I'm doing here? What am I doing here? Two of my children are Damaris. I have just as much right to be in this house as you two do. And then she'd be in
there. It's like, I got more rights than Abby.
And then she'd be sitting in there in a teddy when he comes down the stairs, and then Abby would be like, what are you doing down here, Sammy? Go get dressed.
Like how you did with my man, bitch? Yeah.
Chad didn't tell me to go get dressed. You know, I would love that. You know, that would be so soapy if they had
Sammy.
And I'm going to be honest, y'all know I love Allison Sweeney, but if she didn't want to come back full time, I'd be okay with them recasting.
Who, though? Because that's going to take a very special actress.
I think, look, I'm going to be honest. Bree Williamson really impressed me on GH. I hated the character of Claudette, but I could deal with her as Sammy, you know?
Oh, dear God, help us all.
Now you're going to make me go back to an old statement I used to use. If I could endure 5 Ashley Abbotts, there can be 2 Sammy.
That's you.
Yeah. Sammy is not the kind of character you replace recast with a Bree Williamson.
I don't know about all that, but Bree Williamson.
Anybody can be replaced.
Listen, I agree. Anybody can be replaced, but the caliber of the person who does the replacing has to meet a certain standard for a sick character like Sammy. I would need, if Sharon Case was not at The Young and the Restless, I would be like, Sharon Case could be Sammy.
Sammy Crackhorn, get your ass out of here, Luke.
Better actor than Bree Williamson. You're gonna get me in trouble today. Oh, Sharon Case, buck her eyes out.
Sammy, get your life. Get your life and get it.
I'm just saying, you would need that caliber of an actress and a
caliber.
Sammy and Allison.
And
Allison Sweetie said, bitch, don't play me, play Lotto, because I could do cassette. What? You trying to say Sharon Case
doesn't have grit to play Sammy?
Get out of here.
Oh, I think she could.
No.
One in the world. Shut your face.
It's better than Bree.
And the truth ain't in
The two of y'all can duke that out. I don't think none of them hoes can play Allison. Sharon Case, get your life. Get out of here.
When I first found out Allison was leaving, I wanted Ann Hesh, but I don't. And keep on doing primetime.
If you're having a problem with Carly being too old, you definitely can't have Ann Hesh as Sammy.
Oh, Ann Hesh is not that old, Luke. Thank you very much.
Compared to Allison Sweetie?
She wear bad. That's why people say she wear bad.
She does not. She would come on there and light that show up. Yeah, she's 7 years older.
She wear bad. That's why people would say.
She does not. Ann Hesh still looks gorgeous. That's a lie.
Ann Hesh. Listen, I love Ann Hesh. But there's times when she can look like she's been rode hard, and Allison Sweeney doesn't.
That is the character that she plays. It's not like
when she did that, what was it, Men in Trees? I love that show, but she would still look like she was rode hard.
She was in Alaska, and that was part of the character.
They were not filming in Alaska.
She puts on makeup. Look at her. Allison Sweeney is not like Donna. Y'all gonna get me in too much trouble. Y'all ain't like that. It is
somewhere.
She ain't like Allison Sweeney is.
Don't
Christian Alfonso, Hunter Tyler, those are the women that we always remember.
The next thing we know, Jamie's going to suggest that Sammy's cast by Victoria Wyndham.
You shut up, Luke. You done said Sharon Case, and that's the most laughable recast in the history of this site.
Well, I'm enjoying the way this podcast is wrapping up. Final thought, Jillian.
Sharon Case, I was like, what?
Sandra Hahn would have said, when did I have this bitch?
If she's saying that about Sharon Case, she's definitely saying that about Ann Hesh.
When did I have this bitch?
Ann Hesh said, I know that bitch.
And this is, she just said, Ken, and this is not my happy purr.
Okay. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/DC Confidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Sharon.
Get down, Sharon Case. Get down.
Sharon is going to cuss us out. I don't care.
I like Sharon Case.